Cloudy skies and 65.
8:27 at AM 930 WEOL. Bruce Van Dyke along with Craig Adams. We are broadcasting live this morning from the hotel at Oberlin. It is part of our two-day spotlight on Oberlin. Later today, between 3 and 6, Andy Boulbars and Matt Douglas will be doing their show from Lorenzo's.
I hope they eat a pizza while they do their show. I'd like to hear that.
I don't know about that. That seems a little rude, especially and with these microphones in front of us. Marinara sauce or cheese, mozzarella stuck. It's bad enough when they don't put it in the case right and it kind of gets it's broken. But we are here this morning spotlighting Oberlin. Lots going on and throughout the year. Commencement's going to get underway this week as well. And with us this morning to talk about the Oberlin Summer Theater and maybe a little bit about what's happening with the college since he's on the faculty is Paul Moser. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning.
Now, you are in the drama department.
The theater department.
Theater department,
is that
what it is?
Yeah.
Students in the conservatory have sort of recitals at the end. What kind of a thing do seniors who are graduating from your department have to do? Is there anything?
Well, a lot of the classes have final scenes that they show, acting classes and whatnot, or if it's a design class, they might have a presentation of set designs that they've done, that kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah. Do some of those students work their way sometimes into the Oberlin Summer Theater Festival?
Absolutely. The Summer Theater Festival uses a kind of a cool combination of actors. Every show has at least one Actors Equity actor, so a professional union actor. And then we also hire a lot of local older actors who are trained and talented, but then we try to pick plays that have good parts for young actors. So unlike the school year where the college kids play all the parts, even grandmothers and stuff like that, in the summer they play age-appropriate parts. So it'd be the kind of parts they'd be up for if they went out into the real world.
Well, let's talk about this year. You always pick three sort of diverse, and at least one of them has a Shakespeare connection to it.
Well, I'm the Shakespeare teacher over in the department, so it's a special interest of mine. Actually, in the 90s, we ran a free Shakespeare program here at the college. Then they made me chair, and I couldn't do both at the same time. But when I stepped down from being chair, we set up the new summer theater, which is a lot more ambitious than what we used to do, just one show in the summer. Now we do three.
And overlapping shows. Now,
well, we call that rotating rep, okay. Sure. So once they're all up and going, you can literally come to town and in one day see two different shows, just like a movie complex, except it's on the same stage. Or you could stay overnight and see all three shows. So
let's talk about this year's season. It opens on June 22nd with Little Women.
Little Women, right. And this is not an opera version or a musical version of this. The novel is now in public domain, so there have got to be dozens and dozens of adaptations of this. It's very popular. Of course, they've made it into TV series and movies and everything else. But about a decade ago, the Minneapolis Children's Theater in Minneapolis, which is a premier children's theater in the country, did this adaptation. It's really quite wonderful. And then the Stratford Festival up in Canada picked it up, and it was actually in two consecutive seasons up there. They were doing so well. And I read it and compared it to the others, and it's really quite outstanding. So that's why we're doing this adaptation of it.
And then for Shakespeare, you've gone with...
We're doing Romeo and Juliet, which is probably one of his most popular and well-known plays. And once again, it has the key characters are young. And so we have a rising senior at the college who's playing Romeo, but we actually have a Case Western MFA student who's playing Juliet. She's really quite talented. It's coming down to
that. Is that one of the smaller Shakespeare casts, or am I just thinking sometimes?
Well, no, I don't know that there is such a thing as a small Shakespeare cast, but I would say it's probably in the medium range,
Yeah. And then you rounded out with Picnic.
And we're rounding out with Picnic by William Inge. This is actually the third William Inge play that we've done in the Summer Theater. He was a Midwestern playwright, and the tone of his plays, the subject matter and whatnot seems to do very well with the audience here. So I'm very excited about doing another Inge play.
When you're lining these three up, what do you see as a compare or maybe a thread or a comparison?
Well, when we pick them, it isn't necessarily about that. But then when you look back after you picked them, I suppose you can project onto them some kind of thread. It is very much about young people coming of age in all three plays in different ways, because it's the four March Sisters and Little Women. Then, of course, Romeo and Juliet kind of coming of age and breaking away from their family into
elope.
Right. And then the Drifter
comes to town. And
then
Picnic is a very, in some ways, a very similar plot in that, yeah.
Right. And I always ask how, because there was the one time where you had like a pirate ship from one of your seasons. I always wonder, how do you kind of balance your sets so your sets work well together and are have maybe multiple functions to them or be able to work together?
The sets are actually quite separate. It's rather magical how we're able to break them down and store them backstage. And then after every performance, there's a small army of interns and tech folk that come out and literally push one set away and set the other set up. And they get it down. It usually only takes them about 20 minutes, 30 minutes. But that's part of the whole rotating rep. Technical challenge of rotating rep.
So what becomes your responsibility during the
I'm both a producer and the artistic director, so I pick the shows, I hire everybody, I come up with the master calendar. Most years I've directed two of the shows. This year I'm stepping back and directing just one, having one of my former students he's in his 40s, who's going to come in and direct Romeo and Juliet. I'm busy, believe me. It's a full-time job.
Do you have an interest or opportunity to be on stage yourself?
I used to act, but then when I got interested in directing, I pretty much shifted my focus. But in graduate school, as a directing student, we took pretty much the entire acting curriculum, and I've enjoyed it from time to time, but I'm more interested in crafting the productions than being on stage myself.
As a novice, we sometimes hear about, I wouldn't even say that, but we hear about different styles of acting. Are there any styles of acting that you teach or bring even to the summer festival, or how do you look at that?
Well, in this country, actor training changed a lot during the 30s with the formation of the group theater, which was imitating Stanislavski's theater in Moscow. His theater toured the U.S., and it inspired a lot of American artists, particularly on the East Coast and in New York. And probably one of the most influential groups was called the Group Theater. And that spawned like the Actor Studio and a lot of other stuff. But most of the schools of acting in this country can find their genesis in that theater back in the 30s. So the various teachers in our department usually have their own amalgamation of different schools of acting, but mostly stemming from that. So we could call it method acting, but it's not method acting like Lee Strasberg, where you're sitting in the corner trying to make yourself cry or something like that. But it's related to that, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know it was method acting. I just thought I was depressed about something.
But, but then we also have a range of stuff. Like Shakespeare, a lot of the teaching on that is how to handle the text, and that's a tradition that goes back centuries and centuries, and so we're part of that tradition, and we teach that.
When you teach that, when does the light bulb come on the students? How long does it take for them to suddenly sort of get the flow, get the language, understand how
This is a craft, so how long does it take to learn how to build a car or you know what I mean? It takes quite a while. It's different lengths of time for different people, and it's a slow accumulation of different skills and whatnot. Yeah,
we know these performances take place over at the Hall Auditorium for that, and there's some construction going on over there.
Yeah, there's been quite a bit of construction the last few years. Hall was designed to be sort of an all-purpose auditorium, and it's called an auditorium. So there were, piano concerts in there, lectures in there, films. When I showed up almost 30 years ago, there was 35-millimeter projectors up in the booth, and it was very common for them to still be showing movies in there. Slowly, theater, opera, and dance took it over, and it's been retrofitted to be a much better theater than it was originally designed to be. So the lighting system's a lot better, the fly system, for flying scenery and whatnot, it's a lot better. They added a scene shop. But it was never fully equipped in a good way in terms of the backstage facilities. And if you've ever been in the bathrooms there, it's sort of shocking how small they are, and you wonder what the kind of rating system they had back in 1950 when they built the building. So after many, many decades of trying to upgrade the facility and expand it, the college has done a two-prong construction project over there. First, the annex, which is attached to it, that has the classrooms, was totally renovated top to bottom. There was a little theater in there that had originally, when it was first built, actually been a little television studio when they had a communications department. But they've totally renovated that. It's now two stories tall. The guy who gave the money from that was John Kander of Kander and Ebb, who wrote Cabaret and Chicago and whatnot. He's an alum. And it's now called the Kander Theater, and it's a beautiful little black box theater. But then south of Hall is the going to be the new adaptable theater. With that will be a brand new, rather spacious lobby, which is well air conditioned, which is a little different than the one we have now. Spacious bathrooms, which we've been looking forward to for decades. I mean, the audience certainly has, because particularly the women's room have been rather embarrassing. But then we have an adaptable theater, which we can set up as proscenium, thrust, theater in the round, and that will seat more in the neighborhood of about 200 as opposed to Hall Auditorium, which is 500, so the shows will be a lot more intimate in that space. But we'll also have a new scene shop. We've been, a lot of our shows in the past, we've had to actually build the scenery on the stage itself because our scene shop is so small, barely enough room to put our tools. And we'll have a new costume shop there, new dressing rooms, and actually a new rehearsal hall too, which will be terrific for the theater department.
What's the timeline on all this?
Well, you know, originally they were shooting for July, but that never happens. At this point, I think they're looking for the fall. And I'm actually directing the first show in that space, so I'm excited about that. And that'll be a theater department production with all student cast. We're going to be doing Cabaret in honor of John Kander in the fall.
Wow, that's great. Yeah. Now, again, the Oberlin Summer Theater Festival starts on June 22nd. Then July 6th is Romeo and Juliet. And then July 20th is when...
We run all the way to August 5th. And once Picnic opens, it's all three shows in rotation. You know, so right. Basically, if you get online, go to Oberlin Summer Theater Festival, you can pick a weekend, a weekday, and find a combination.
They're free,
of shows
but you like to have people with certain.
Yeah, it's
tickets.
Free. I mean, the theater was a bit of an experiment. There are free theaters around the country. A lot of them are Shakespeare festivals, where we got the idea. Like the Public Theater in New York has a Shakespeare festival in the park. The idea with this is that we want to educate the population of our great theater classics. A lot of regional theaters now, the ticket prices are so high that most people can't bring their kids, even if they can afford themselves to go. And we feel that the artistic mission is important enough. We shouldn't price anybody out. It should be for everybody. So we feel that people can pay. We'd like them to give something. But quite a bit of the year is spent raising money for this. Nord Family Foundation is very, very generous. Nordson Corporation is very generous. Ohio Arts Council gives us a fair amount of money. You know, Oberlin Business Partnership helps with publicity and money for that. And we have some individual large donors. I mean, and last year we broke even. So think about that. We have no earned income, but we broke even. So actually it ends up being a pretty good model, because if you've got a lot of people giving a small amount of money, it actually adds up more to a small group of people paying high ticket prices. So that's the model. And we're finally, our audience has grown to the point that that's starting to pay off. It's taken 10 years, but that's where we're at. Last year, our total audience was 12,500 something. I mean, it's grown quite a bit. And
it's great. It gets, you know, quality theater performances for free.
Well, we'd like to think so, yes.
Yeah. Now, has rehearsal started?
No, rehearsals actually will start next week.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, everybody knows.
But they're already building the sets. So.
Getting everything ready again for Little Women, Romeo and Juliet, and Picnic, the three plays this year for the Oberlin Summer Theater Festival. Paul Moser, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me on.
Sounds great. A lot going on. And we've got more coming up with our spotlight on Oberlin continuing.